to read the Word of God at the 5th chapter of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. This chapter tells us about the children of Israel after they had crossed the Jordan. And after they had crossed the Jordan and came to Gilgal, the children of Israel were circumcised. And we read here, verse 2, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Joshua 5 and 2, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children can be raised up in their stead. Them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done the circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, then he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Amen. And God will bless this reading from his infallible book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. Turn in your Bibles to this fifth chapter of Joshua. This is a tremendous portion, verse 12 to verse 15 of Joshua chapter 5. Please note, before Joshua could see the Lord, before he could hear his voice, before he could get commandment to attack the city of Jericho, two things had to happen in Israel. Number one, all the nation had to have the mark of the covenant upon them. They had to be circumcised. The rule of God, the commandment of God was that a child, when it was 8 years, a male child, had to be circumcised. But when they came out of Egypt, they remained in constant disobedience, so that all the children born that had been in Egypt were all left uncircumcised. To disobey God is to be in a state of sin. And the whole nation of Israel for 40 years was in a state of sin. They refused the commandment of God and the mark of the covenant given first of all to Abraham, the father of the faithful. That had to be reversed. And if you look with me at verse 3, the sharp knives had to be sharpened. What for? Look at verse 9. That the reproach of Egypt may be rolled away. This day, said God, after they were circumcised, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Before God can do a great work in his church, the reproach of Egypt has got to be rolled away from the church. The reproach of Egypt is sin, disobedience against God, rebellion against his holy word, a setting of man up against God, an exaltation of pride against the holy God of heaven. God must put his hand on that. God must cleanse it from the heart, and the reproach of Egypt has to be taken away before God can do a mighty work. Secondly, you will notice, they have their first Passover. The Passover was a yearly feast. It celebrated the night that God passed over Egypt, but the blood of the Passover lamb on the lintels inside posts of the door protected the inmates therein. God said you have to do it every year. We only read that they did it once after coming out of Egypt, when they were under the shadow of Mount Sinai, and when God spoke the Ten Commandments to them. They never did it after that. So for 40 years, they disobeyed God, not only not being circumcised, but not keeping the Passover. But when the reproach was rolled away, they kept the Passover. Look at what it says. They kept the Passover, verse 10, on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. If circumcision is a type of the rolling away of the reproach of Egypt, the reproach of sin. The Passover is a type of communion with Christ, sheltering under His blood and partaking in sweet communion with Himself. Because at the Passover feast, all those circumcised Jews ate of the roasted lamb. They partook of the lamb. And until the Christian church turns from a longing for the flesh pots of Egypt to come and sit at God's table and to commune with Jesus Christ and partake of Him who is the bread of life. Until that happens, God can do no great work in His church. These are top priorities. Circumcision and the Passover. Well, they took place. And immediately, here is Joshua. He leaves the tents of Gilgal. He goes a few miles down the road to Jericho. And he's standing looking at the great towering walls of Jericho. Get the picture. One man, and he's an old man. All the rest of the camp of Israel are all young people. But he's an old man. He's over 80. And he's looking at these walls. 3 million people are encamped in the Jordan Jericho Valley. He has to take those people to conquer this nation. But here is a gate that is barred. Here is a great city that barricades the way to victory. What am I going to do now? Joshua was saying to himself. What shall I do? But suddenly, if you look with me at verse 13, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? There are 3 lessons to be learned from this scripture. First, there is the lesson that we can't know the power and blessing and help of God until we have come to recognize the presence of Christ. We must get a vision of Christ. And Joshua got the vision. He got the vision of Christ as the great soldier. This was a warrior that he saw. This was a man of war. This was the great captain of the Lord's host. This was a pre-incarnation Christophany, appearance of Jesus Christ. And there he stands in armor. But something else, his sword is not in its sheath. His sword is drawn, and it's in his hand. This soldier is at war. He's not at peace. He's at war with the enemy. And Joshua did not recognize him. But Joshua was no coward. He didn't run away. He ran towards him. It says here he went unto him. And he said, Art thou for us or for our enemies, our adversaries? And the Lord said, I'm not for you, Joshua, nor I'm not for your enemies. I come as the captain of the Lord's host. On whose side is God? He's on his own side. He leads his own host. He is the commander in chief of his own army. Joshua, you're only a foot soldier. I'm in charge here, Joshua. And Joshua fell on his face on the ground and worshipped. Let me say to you that a vision of Christ and a recognition of his presence and a realization of his person will do three things. It will encourage faith within our heart. It will encourage hope within our heart. And it will encourage prayer within our heart. And we need to come to that place where we have a recognition of and a realization of the blessed presence of Christ. Anything can happen when Christ is present. No miracle can be said not to be able to be done when Christ is there. I was reading a sermon by Spurgeon this week, and he said, do not say that Luther or Calvin or Whitfield or Wesley were great men, and therefore around them great things gathered. My brethren, the weakest of men may be more honored than the greatest if God is with them. Our weakness, our want of learning, our want of eloquence, and what not, I look upon these as advantages rather than not. For if we were eminent, we might perhaps claim some of the glory. But if we know we are less than nothing and just vanity, then is there a clear stage for divine operations? Oh, that God may have a clear stage for divine operation, that no man will try to touch his glory. And why should not we now see, says Spurgeon, in this place, such a revival that shall shake the whole country and stir the dry bones in the valley of vision at this day as they were never stirred since apostolic times. We have but to expect it. We have but to believe it. We have but to pray for it. We have but to work for it. And we shall have it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if we pray for it and expect it and believe for it, God will do a work in this century that has never been done since apostolic time? Or do you limit the God of heaven? Do you dare to limit omnipotence and the mighty God of heaven? God's cloud, said Spurgeon, will pour down the water floods as plenteously as when Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. The Lord thundereth mightily against his enemies at this time, so he can do it even more mightily as he ever did it in past generations. Think not that the Almighty has ceased to do marvels. God is still the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, with an arm that doeth wonders. You have still only to plead the power of the precious blood and the meritorious death of Christ to see wonders in this year of grace which shall even eclipse any that your father saw or ever heard of happening. May God grant to each believer amongst us the vision that Joshua had, the vision of Christ with the drawn sword in his hand. Oh, that we might see him tonight. First lesson, let us learn it. Realize the presence of Christ. Second lesson, react to the presence of Christ. What was Joshua under the wall of Jericho doing? He was there to see, was there a way to break the defenses and make them to crumble in this great city that stood before him as a gate that had to be battered open and as a bulwark that had to be destroyed so that the 3 million people of Israel might occupy the land of promise. And he was baffled. He was hindered. And then this man came. This God man came. And he said, I want to tell you something, Joshua. You're not the captain here. You're not the man that will plan how it happens. I'm in charge. And you know the first thing that he had? He had a sense of great relief. He went out to Jericho with a burden, but he went home from Jericho without any burden. God is in charge. I wish the people of God would get that into their heart. God is in charge. Christ is supreme. Christ has not weakened. He is the strong Christ. He is the great Christ. He is the unconquerable Christ. And then, what did Joshua do? He worshipped. He fell on his face to the earth. That's the end of pride. He worshipped. And he said, listen to what he said. He said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Oh God, give me my orders. Someone said to the late Duke of Wellington, he said to the great Duke that was Prime Minister of England at a time, he said, do you think that Christianity will ever conquer the world? And the old Duke looked at him, and he said, I want to tell you, you obey the marching orders of Christ, and it will conquer the world. For Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the old Duke yelled, get on with it. Obey the marching orders. We need to obey the marching orders of Jesus Christ. We need to get on with it. Joshua fell in his face. He submitted himself to God. He cried out to God that he worshipped. And he said, thank you. Thank you, Lord of the hosts of God. Prince of the hosts of God. For in the marginal reading, the Hebrew reads the word Prince of the hosts of the Lord. What saith the Lord unto his servant? Defeat is impossible if you obey God. You can't be defeated. Defeat is not in the vocabulary of a man that walks with God. He cannot be defeated. Jesus Christ is the Christ of victory. Thirdly, we not only need to recognize the presence of Christ and react rightly to the presence of Christ, but we need to respond to the presence of Christ. You know, sometimes because of the chapters in our Bibles, we fail to realize that this Bible is one book all connected. And we read at verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And people think that's all he said. He did nothing of the kind. You get what he said in the next chapter. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given thine hand into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty man of valor. I said when I was preaching on this subject down in Bangor this afternoon, sometimes we miss great truths of Scripture because we don't read between the lines of the book. Joshua wasn't a one-foot man. He had 2 feet. But why did the Lord say, loose thy shoe from off thy foot? I'll tell you why he said it. Because Joshua had already the other shoe loosened. And he was getting excited because of what was happening. And the Lord says, take your time, Joshua. Get that other shoe off. I'm waiting for you. And I'm not going to do anything until you have both shoes on and your both feet are on holy ground. God will not speak to you if you have 1 foot on unholy ground and another foot on holy ground. Get your shoes off, Joshua. I'm waiting for you. And then we have this little aside thing. Jericho was shut up. Verse 1 of chapter 6. And then the Lord said unto Joshua, see, you come down here to see these walls. Well, I'm going to show you something better than that. I'm going to give you the whole city, walls and all. And the king and the great man, they're all going. They're coming into your house. And he tells Joshua what to do. And what does he tell him? That the ark must go before them. The ark. What is the ark? The ark is a type of Christ. And where Christ goes before us, when we reach the place, the enemies are gone. It's Christ's power that strikes the enemies of the gospel. I can take the sword of the Spirit, and I can preach the word of God, but it is powerless. But when I preach the word of God, and Christ with his drawn sword is beside me, cutting into the hearts of the people to whom I preach, then I become a channel of blessing to the salvation of those souls. We need the ark, the holy ark of God, the blessed Christ of God. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you. It's a great thing to have Christ with you. Oh, it's a great thing. And I have been in some tight places in my day, and no doubt will be in tighter places before I reach the glory land. But I am sure that when Christ is with me, I'll smile at the storm as I go sailing home. You cannot feel if Christ is with you. Joshua, get the ark out. Get the priest blowing the trumpets. You have a long march. And you don't need to ask the procession commission whether you can take it, Joshua. I'm telling you, God can get the orange men down the Gavahi Road. I tell you. And I tell you, he will. I'm really mad. I get really mad. My blood pressure goes up when I see these Sinn Feiners and SDLP and Alliance mouthing about democracy. There's no democracy in the Gavahi Road. People can't walk to church. They've walked there for 100 years. They need to get down that road. And as I said to Mr. Blair, they will come down the road. And I said, you have a choice to make, Prime Minister, whether you want a real rebellion on your hands or whether you stand for decency and democracy. But thank God there was no parades commission. The Lord said, walk! And they walked. Seemed a foolish thing to do. To get 3 million men, women, and children all walking around a wall. But they did. And they did it the first day. And the second day. And the third day. And the fourth day. And the fifth day. And the sixth day. And then the Lord said, you're going to have a long walk today. This is the Sabbath day, the seventh day. And you're going to walk round it 7 times. So on that day, the people looking over the wall, they thought the procession would end. But it didn't. It went on. Once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, and then seven times. And then for the first time, the people shouted, and the walls didn't come tumbling down. The walls fell flat. They went right down into the ground until the top of the wall was level with the ground. How do you know? Because that's what the Bible says. And I've been at Jericho, and I've seen where the walls came to the very level of the ground. Sure, if those walls would come tumbling down, Joshua could never get into that city. There'd be so much ruin. But God dropped the walls. They're gone. No walls there. And they went in, and there was only one house, and the wall that stood didn't fall. That was the house of Rahab. You know why? Because there was a cord that was crimson in the window. And my friend, if you haven't got the crimson cord in your heart of the blood of the Lamb, when the day of judgment comes, you'll go down to perdition. But if you have the cord that's crimson, you cannot perish, for you're tied into God, into His purpose, plan, and everlasting salvation. Oh, that I might see my great captain of salvation. Oh, that I might get my eye in these days on Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, that I might glue my affections on Him and on Him alone. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.